Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. And the time right now is 9 minutes past 10. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first up this morning is Monday Morning Focus. And today we're going to look at basically I'm going to prepare, the whole program is going to be with regards to preparing for the month of Ramadan. But in the first slot, we'll be talking about what women can do to prepare themselves. And inshallah, that'll be followed by Socially Speaking with Maulana Muhammad Venka, our esteemed guest from KwaZulu-Natal. Alhamdulillah, he is back. He wasn't around for a while, and unfortunately, we couldn't get him on to the other slots because they were all occupied already. But alhamdulillah, we have Maulana with us in a little while, inshallah. Today, we're going to be once again discussing the preparation for the month of Ramadan. But what we're going to be looking at is the spiritual preparation for Ramadan. Inshallah. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. Also, a reminder to our listeners that if you perhaps have any questions, concerns, you would like to know anything, then please do call in at that time. That is when we do the second part of the program, and ask Maulana your questions, inshallah. Now, first up is preparing for the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. O you who believe, observing al-sawm, that is the fasting, is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become al-muttaqoon, you may become the pious. Alhamdulillah, this comes from the Holy Quran in chapter 2, verse 183. As this beautiful month of Ramadan approaches this year once again, there are several things that Muslim women can do to prepare themselves spiritually and of course physically as well for this month-long period of fasting, which is, as we all know, obligatory upon all able-bodied Muslims who have reached the age of maturity. Alhamdulillah. Now, having given some thought to this, like this unique concern, or concerns rather, that the Muslim women face during this month, can only help us prepare for them and can also make the month a more successful one. I think that is so important for us. If we face some of these problems, if we have any problems, we discuss it, we find out about it, it will definitely make it easier for us. Now, this is especially true for new converts to Islam, because Ramadan is such a new experience to them, and again for married women in general, because the extra responsibility that they typically have to make sure that the iftar, that is the fast breaking meal that we serve at sunset each day, is ready on time for their families, and of course also for any guests, in addition to the continuing to take care of the home, our children. There's so many, many other obligations that women have, as we all know. It is also very crucial then that women take the time to plan for their sleep, their health, and other concerns before the month even starts. And I think this is so important. You know, sometimes we have so much to do that we deprive ourselves of sleep. And sleep, I know this is only 1 month, but we do need sleep. Don't think that we don't need our sleep. We do need our sleep to become optimal in everything that we do. Our health is very important. Can you imagine a sick mom in the house? How are you going to get everything done if your mother is not well? Because everything revolves around the mother. If the mother is not there, if she is not able to do things for you, everything goes in disarray. So the health of your mother is very important. The health of the women of the house are very important. And, of course, other concerns before even the month starts. So this is something I feel is very important for all women to remember, that, your health is very important. Before you take care of anybody else, take care of your own health. Because if you are not there, things really go haywire in the house. Now, it is it's not that others cannot do it for you, but it's not going to be done the same way, and it's going to put everybody else in, disarray, and you need to have so many people running in to do one person's work. So a mother plays a very, very important role. Now, it is recommended for Muslims, and we're going to start off with Sehri, to eat our pre-dawn meal, which is called the Sehri or Sahur in Arabic. And each day before the fast begins, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this is reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, we have said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that eat a pre-dawn meal for there are blessings in it. So again, very important for mothers to remember this, that the Sehri is very important. If a mom is not there to wake up the family, then all obviously can miss their Sehri. So very important for the mother. And they say other traditions also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, you should eat the pre-dawn meal, for it is a blessed nourishment. And actually, what it basically says that Sehri is very, very important for us to make sure that we have every morning during the month of Ramadan. Now, the pre-dawn meal is blessed, so do not neglect it, even if you only take a sip of water. Verily, Allah and His angels pray for those who have pre-dawn meals. So there, again, it is a blessing. You will get sawab for that, inshallah. Now, the pre-dawn meal also provides energy, and it has other benefits to the fasting Muslim during the day. So it really does make good sense to plan on getting up early to have suhoor. So for the mom, I think that is very important. She needs to get up earlier than everybody else, and she needs to plan. So I know they always talk about planning your menu, but it's also important to really do it, because it makes it so much easier for the mother. Of course, this is better accomplished if you also sleep early. So try to think about how you will arrange your schedule once Ramadan begins. If you typically have trouble waking up for the Fajr Salah, a new schedule in the month of Ramadan may be the motivation you need to change your habits for the better, even after Ramadan has ended. Ramadan is a great opportunity that comes once a year to renew your relationships and commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one way, it's a training ground for all of us. You know, if during the 12 months of the year when we, just take things for granted and we go on like machines, do things the way we want to do things. But when the month of Ramadan come and you need to do some things differently, then this is the time to start preparing, changing. And you have a whole 30 days almost, 29, 30 days in which to, practice and become perfect on it, inshallah. Now, another thing is, if you are accustomed to drinking tea or coffee in the morning or during the day, be aware that caffeine withdrawal can cause severe headaches while you are fasting. So here's some advice for you. Take some time before Ramadan to wean yourself from caffeine, perhaps slowly, but you can do it, and decide whether it will be necessary to have any caffeine during the non-fasting hours in Ramadan. So, the whole idea is to cleanse yourself internally, spiritually, mentally, physically, every possible way. So this is also a way that you can cleanse yourself. So what you try and stay away from during the month of Ramadan, try and stay away from it for good. It may seem like a funny thing to worry about compared to the greatness of this holy month, but many Muslims have experienced the phenomena of caffeine withdrawal, and also know to prepare themselves ahead of time to ensure they do not get sick from it. What many people would do, of course, suffering from this problem, when they do have this caffeine withdrawal, is those they know that they're going to be having a severe headache. So what they do is they start, taking medications before the headache even starts. I think many of us do it. I used to do it. At the time of Sehri, I would take a Panado just to prevent a headache from coming on. Well, actually, you should be preparing yourself from now to be able to stop, you know, to prevent that things from happening to you. Then women should also know the times that they are prohibited from fasting, such as when they are menstruating or bleeding after childbirth. Pregnant, and it's important for women to know these facts about us, about us. So pregnant and breastfeeding women have special permission not to fast during Ramadan if they feel that they or their babies will be harmed by it, especially breastfeeding mummies or pregnant mothers for that matter. But they are not prohibited from fasting if they feel that they can handle it. So if you can, and if you know that you can handle it, then you are allowed to fast. But you are not allowed to fast, or you have the permission not to fast during the month of Ramadan if you are breastfeeding or if you are pregnant. And if you know that your health will be at risk, or the baby's life will be at risk, or the baby may not be getting enough milk. So it's important. You need to know all these things. This is something best discussed, obviously, with your doctor, and it depends on each woman's unique circumstances. Now, I know of many women, you know, they do, especially if they're pregnant, they can fast. And if you are able to, then alhamdulillah, continue fasting. But if you are not able to, then you have permission not to fast. However, it is very important that pregnant and breastfeeding women take care to eat properly during non-fasting hours if they do choose to fast. It is also important that women do not feel any shame or guilt in breaking the fast if they feel they must. So yes, this is also important for them to remember that, you know, if you do feel that you are not feeling well, you are okay, you have started the fast, but you're really not feeling well, and you shouldn't feel bad about breaking the fast. And obviously, the next best thing is after the month of Ramadan, or when you are able to, you can just pay back for the fast that you have missed. No one has the right to put pressure on the pregnant or breastfeeding woman to exceed her body's limits. In fact, this allowance not to fast should be considered a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not a punishment. So remember, Allah is most merciful. He will never put a burden on you that you cannot handle. And this is one of them. So if you have permission not to fast, but if you are well enough, please, if you are well enough and you know you can fast, you have no problem there, then alhamdulillah, you go ahead. But if there's the slightest of problem, then you are allowed to break your fast, or you are allowed not to fast at all. Now, likewise, women should not fast just because they do not want to have to make up their fast, later. And this is one of the reasons that many women actually wouldn't want to fast, because they feel, you know, they want to fast is because they feel, how am I going to make up those fasts that I'd rather just suffer it out a little and fast now because everybody is fasting. But remember, your health is important, the health of your baby is important, and if you are breastfeeding, it is important for you to have enough milk for your baby. Right? The thing is that your health should be the prime consideration in deciding whether or not to fast. You take the fast one day at a time, and it is not a competition with others, but an act of worship for the sake of Allah Most High. So remember this, it is not a competition, it is an act of worship. Whether a woman misses days of fasting due to menstruation or childbirth or pregnancy, breastfeeding or even illness, these missed days should be made up before the next Ramadan comes, inshallah. And you know, the best time, let's just do this and then I'll tell you about it. Inshallah, depending on her circumstances and on different schools of thought, making up the fast may be as simple as fasting one day for each day missed during Ramadan,
or it may require that she feeds one poor person each day, either in addition to or in place of fasting herself. And once again, it is so important for women to consult reliable books or scholars to understand their obligations in this regard. Or, you know, just find some excellent resource of reliable information on how to make up missed days of fasting. But really, it is so simple. All you need to do is to just pick up the phone, speak to an alim or an alima most definitely, and they'll be able to tell you exactly how you should go about, paying back for those fasts. Either you, and mostly, if you are well enough, then obviously there's no reason for you not to be able to keep the fast. But if there's some reason with regards to your health, then there are also ways that you can do it. So the best thing is to consult your alim or your alima with regards to this. But important for us to understand and respect our body's physical needs and limits during Ramadan will help you to have more energy for taking care of your home, your family, and your responsibility. Now, spiritual preparation is also something that needs to be done before Ramadan comes around. It might seem a little silly, really, when you consider we should be spiritually in tune 12 months a year. We also seem to, you know, get up or get caught up with our hectic schedules, and all of a sudden our Muslim sisters especially, you'll hear them say, oh no, Ramadan is just a week, or especially now it's just a few days away, but Ramadan is really here, and it's really like panic time. But what are we really panicking about? Are we panicking about our freezers? We don't have enough, our freezers are not filled enough. Actually, that shouldn't be the most important thing. It is important to prepare. I won't say don't prepare food. Really, I do it myself, and every woman out there would go out of their way to make sure that they have enough during the month of Ramadan. But have enough for the right reason. Don't have enough because, I want to have 10 different savories at the iftar table or whatever. The idea is to save time. Save time so that you have time to make ibadat. You want as much time for yourself too. This is 1 month. I'm sure we can, with a whole year through we do all these things. This 1 month, can't we sacrifice just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I think for doing all this, alhamdulillah, I don't tell women not to prepare. Alhamdulillah, even I do it. I try and fill up my freezer if I can, so that it makes it easier for me, that I don't have to waste time thinking what to cook and preparing all the things. Most of the things are ready. We just take it out and we make our meals. We spend as little time as possible in the kitchen. But really, what is the whole idea so that we can start? We said we want to prepare ourselves spiritually. So now we have to fill our freezers with that hour as well. Spiritual preparation is also something that needs to be done before Ramadan comes around. It might seem silly when we consider we should be spiritually in tune for 12 months a year. But we all seem to get caught up with these hectic schedules, and all of a sudden we hear Ramadan is here, and we all start panicking. But some women busy themselves with spring cleaning their homes, but often we forget to warm up and we fine-tune ourselves in readiness for this mighty month. You know, we spring clean even our homes. We go out of our way to start spring cleaning our homes, but I think it's so important for us to start spring cleaning ourselves as well. Cleanliness, as we all know, whenever a guest comes, we prepare in advance for his arrival or her arrival by vacuuming the carpet, dusting the shelves, and scrubbing the sinks. We should do this for a guest called Ramadan. But the scrubbing should not just be of our physical surroundings. It should also include the scrubbing of our sins. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, speaking about those people that don't want to clean up for Ramadan, this is what he said: Whoever doesn't desist from speaking falsehood and acting upon it, Allah has no need that he desists from his food and drink. This comes from Bukhari. So, what the whole idea really is that we should be prepared ourselves for this blessed month of the year, Ramadan, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, in every possible way, we should try and prepare ourselves for the blessed month of Ramadan. Well, that's where I'm going to leave it right now. But inshallah, when we come back, we will continue. And I want to talk a little about some of the very important lessons that we learn from Ramadan. But that will be in our next week's program, inshallah. For now, we're going to continue talking about preparation for the month of Ramadan. And today, we're looking at spiritual preparation for the month of Ramadan. And to join me is Mulana Muhammad Winker from KwaZulu-Natal. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. And joining me online from KwaZulu-Natal is Mulana Muhammad Winker, our esteemed guest. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Jazakallahu khairan. It's an absolute pleasure and privilege for me.
Well, it's wonderful to hear you again on air. It has been a little while. I know you have been out of the country and, you know, with all the programs, you know, all the holidays in between, things have been going a little haywire. But Jazakallah Khair once again for joining us this morning. And I think we'll just start off by saying Ramadan is a month of excitement for Muslims. Ramadan is a month of revelation of the Holy Quran, the month of reading and reciting of the Holy Quran, the month of Tahajjud, the month of Qiyamul Layl prayers, Sadaqah, Zakat, etc. Ramadan is also a month of social activities among Muslims. No one can go anywhere without preparation, and no one invites a guest without preparing to welcome him or her. Similarly, to welcome the month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, one has to prepare. And today, inshallah, Mulana, we are talking about preparation. My whole focus today on this program is preparation for the month of Ramadan. And today we're looking at preparation for the month of Ramadan, but we're looking at the spiritual preparation for the month of Ramadan, inshallah.
Okay, barakallahu feekum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmatuhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. Respected listeners, we begin by praising Allah. We send countless blessings, salutations upon our leader and master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his honorable companions and his household. Indeed, the blessed month of Ramadan is a boon and a bounty from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You know, for the sinful servants that Allah is granting us that lifeline, Allah is granting us the opportunity once more. You know, like a mother, you know, calls her son, the son does something wrong, I'm giving you an opportunity. You know, redress the wrong. You made so many mistakes, but there's an opportunity for you. You know, like the father comes to the son, there's an opportunity for life, you know, for you to build your future. Here we are speaking about not dunya, we are speaking about our akhirah. We are speaking about salvation from the fire of Jahannam. You know, the greatest accolade, a person who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and ultimate entry into the gardens of Jannah. So when we find that Ramadan, alhamdulillah, perhaps some of us that are listening have witnessed many Ramadans, you know, some have witnessed a few Ramadans, whatever it may be, but each one of us that are listening has been through this blessed month of Ramadan. You know, that spiritual hype, that excitement. But what tends to happen is that, you know, we approach Ramadan. When do we start making these preparations? When do we start making a concerted effort? And when do we say that, oh Allah, this is, you know, this is the time. What happens at the eve of Ramadan? You know, when the moon of Ramadan is sighted, then at that point, you know, that's when we brace ourselves, we prepare ourselves. The excitement is in the air. You can find the sense of spirituality. And the moment Ramadan comes to an end, you know, it comes to a halt immediately. So we intend Ramadan, Allah aids us accordingly. last night, Thursday night, was Laylatul Bara'ah, the night of emancipation. What was that night for? We spent that night in ibadah. We turned to Allah, we made dua, we made tilawat, we made sure that for the men, we read our salah in the masjid. And for many of them, on Friday morning, we performed our salatul fajr in the masjid. We attached importance to that night, we attached importance to the day, and we find Allah aided us accordingly. Likewise, the blessed month of Ramadan, it will come, it will go. If our intention is merely to abstain from food, drink and cohabitation, we haven't really achieved anything out of Ramadan. There is some greater purpose out of Ramadan. We find that in Ramadan, those things that are normally permissible have been made impermissible, like we spoke about. Food, drink, cohabitation with one's spouse, which are normally permissible throughout the year, but whilst a person is fasting during the days of Ramadan, the halal things have been made haram. Can we well imagine if that which is lawful throughout the year has been made unlawful in Ramadan, can we well imagine the crime of those things that are perpetually forbidden? You know, ghibat, backbiting, and we find what tends to happen in the month of Ramadan, like in English, people say the fast got to you. You know, today the fast got to you. So people abuse the tongue, people abuse, the staff, abuse those that are under them. And this is a common tendency that we find. One is people cannot control themselves, people lose their anger. It's all in the mind. We need to condition the mind. You know, spiritually, this is the whole idea of Ramadan, to condition the mind, to condition the heart, to condition the soul. And likewise, with the blessed month of Ramadan, we need to ask ourselves the question, that what is my ambition? What is my aspiration? What is my desire this Ramadan? What would I like to achieve out of this blessed month of Ramadan? I think this is something that we need to ask ourselves. Give ourselves goals. The attachment with Quran al-Kareem. This is something which is fundamental. It is vital. It is important. You know, that we create that link with Quran al-Kareem. We create that understanding of Quran. We make a concerted effort to recite the Quran, and we need to make a concerted effort to understand the message of Quran al-Kareem. This is something very important. The month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala says, the month of Ramadan is the month when the Quran was revealed. The Quran was revealed to the greatest of human beings, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this blessed month of Ramadan, it is a month of Quran. It is a month of servitude to Allah. It is the month of charity. It is the month of dua. It is the month of reflection. It is the month of introspection. It is the month where Allah is prepared to forgive. Allah is prepared to overlook. So we need to reach the month of Ramadan in a manner that we are prepared for Ramadan. Like a person is writing an examination, you know, he doesn't get up two or three days before the exam, and then he burns the midnight oil. You know, preparation goes into it, perhaps months, if not weeks of preparation goes into a study, so that when once he's the examination, the day comes, he's well prepared. You know, he's well prepared for the examination. You can approach the month of Ramadan positively. So we need to make a concerted effort. You know, if we are not reading Quran, make a start, inshallah. If we are not reading our salah, make a start. I know in Ramadan we will be reading all our salah. So we intend Ramadan, Allah aids us accordingly. So make a start. You know, or if we are doing ibadat, we are reading our salah, let us add a little extra. Inshallah, you know, in the morning, let us read our salatul ishraq. After maghrib, let us read salatul awabin before you retire to bed. If you cannot get up before fajr, read the tahajjud salah. You know, at least we are bracing ourselves. We are conditioning the soul. We are conditioning the heart and the mind. Coupled with that also, we find the blessed month of Ramadan. Many people get sick in Ramadan because our diet is not the same. Throughout the year, you've got a set diet, you've got a set pattern, you're eating at certain times, you've got a certain diet. Now we find in the blessed month of Ramadan, our eyes become bigger than our stomachs, and at the time of iftar, we fill our bellies, and we're standing in Taraweeh, and we find it difficult. And this is something that Islam teaches us. Thuluthun li ta'ami, that a third for food, a third for drink, a third for air. The Nabi of Allah didn't just suggest it, he lived up to that. So what is the spiritual preparation in terms of our ibadat, like the ulama have explained so beautifully, and there are many books that have been written on this topic, to set up a timetable for Ramadan. This is my Ramadan. This Ramadan I would like to do this. I would recite so much of Quran. we need to space ourselves out. After every salah, I will read so many pages of Quran al-Kareem. Likewise, when it comes to our diet, you know, this is something very, very important. We need to brace ourselves. And Islam has given us, Islam speaks about, you know, taking care of the body. Al-mu'minu al-qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah. A strong believer, a healthy believer, is closer to the Almighty Allah than a weak one, of course, with the correct intention. You know, so in the blessed month of Ramadan, we need to discipline our eating habits. The focus is not food. We find many of our sisters, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala rewards you. You prepare that little extra, you go the extra mile. But the object of Ramadan is not only the food, you know, the samosas and the bajjas, that we start preparing months in advance. But there has to be that spiritual preparation. For many of our sisters, you know, the focus at the time of suhoor, it's a time when du'as are accepted. Undoubtedly, you're feeding your family, you're setting the table, preparing the meals, the delicacies for the family at the time of iftar. But these are momentous occasions. These are moments of du'a. So we need to prepare ourselves, brace ourselves from a certain time to a certain time. I will be in the kitchen. From that point onwards, I will see to my children. You know, at the time of iftar, we engage as a family in du'a. We sit together and we make du'a. At the time of tahajjud, you know, before the time of suhoor draws to a close, you know, we need to sit together, make du'a together at that time, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mulana, with regards preparation, I know, we are always advised from the month of Rajab to start preparing for the month of Ramadan. We pass the midway mark where Shaban is concerned. There's just a few days left as far as we're concerned. What if we have not done any preparations at all? Is it too late? Can one still, prepare in this last few days for the month of Ramadan? Yes, and how do we prepare?
Absolutely. It is never, never too late. You know, we've got a few days left, inshallah. Most likely, the blessed month of Ramadan will commence next week, Saturday. So the first Taraweeh would be next week, Friday. So we've got about 10, 11 days before the month of Ramadan dawns upon us. So we need to make a concerted effort. Inshallah, sit down, reflect, contemplate, introspect. You know, that what is my objective in Ramadan? What am I trying to achieve through Ramadan? Allah doesn't need our hunger. He doesn't need our thirst. By us staying away from hunger and thirst, by us staying away from food and drink, this does not benefit Allah in any way. And Nabi Ali Salaam said, there are so many people, you know, who keep fasting Ramadan, but they derive absolutely no benefit other than hunger and thirst. Do we want to go through Ramadan and the only thing that we achieve is that, you know, we adopt to speak to many people today, is that alhamdulillah, Ramadan is a month where I lose so much of weight. Ramadan is a month, you know, where I discipline my eating habits. With what intention? If you are doing it with the intention of bringing us closer to Allah, then alhamdulillah, then we have achieved something. If you are doing it with the intention that, you know, I look after my spirit, my physical body, there has to be that spiritual connotation attached to it. And this is something very, very important. So to answer the question, it's never too late. We have 10 days, inshallah. We can, inshallah, brace ourselves, prepare ourselves, you know, condition the mind, condition the heart, condition the soul, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. We take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our program. A reminder to our listeners, if perhaps you do have any questions, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548. You can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your guest, Sister Zenith. My guest is Maulana Mohammed Winker from KwaZulu-Natal, and we're talking about the spiritual preparation for the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, and of course we know that it's just a few days away, really. But Maulana, talking about welcoming Ramadan, we have this beautiful nizams playing before the month of Ramadan, where we will hear how we're supposed to be welcoming it, Ramadan. But how do we really welcome the month of Ramadan?
Yes, I think this is something very, very important with regards to welcoming the blessed month of Ramadan. Like you find when you're welcoming some guest home, there are preparations that go into it. This is a question that each and every one of us, you know, need to ask ourselves. And we find that generally what happens after Ramadan, you know, on the day of Eid or a few days after Eid, people say, you know, if only I made a little more effort in Ramadan. If only I focused more effort in Ramadan, then Ramadan came and went so quick. Today we are speaking, there's 11 days before Ramadan. Before we know it, in the blink of an eye, Ramadan will come, Ramadan will go. We have fasted the entire blessed month of Ramadan, inshallah. Have given our zakat and our charity, but once the crescent of Shawwal is sighted, you know, we're back to square one. We, you know, back to our old ways, our old practices. So we haven't really achieved anything out of the blessed month of Ramadan. So how we will welcome Ramadan, this is vital, this is the foundation. This would give us an idea as to how we would spend the blessed month of Ramadan. So how we should be spending this blessed month of Ramadan, number one, the ulama have explained, is that make dua to Allah. Make a lot of dua to Allah, that this is the month of Allah. This is the month of Allah. Welcome. I say, oh Allah, bless me with Ramadan. Oh Allah, take me to Ramadan. And let me benefit from this blessed month of Ramadan. Number two, the ulama have explained, is that give charity. Give some charity. That, oh Allah, the blessed month of Ramadan is coming. Oh Allah, make it easy for me to spend this Ramadan in a manner that pleases you. And oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq and the ability that I could spend this month in such a way that I can bring some transformation to my life. I can bring some change to my life. Number two. Number three, like we spoke about a little earlier, this is the month of Quran. This is the month where we attach ourselves to the Kalam of Allah, to the Qiyamul Layl, at Salatul Taraweeh. Alhamdulillah, we will be listening to the Kalam of Allah. What tends to happen in most masajid, during the first few nights, we find, alhamdulillah, we are dedicated, we are committed to the cause. You know, we're there at the masjid, we enjoy the recitation, the tilawat of Quran, the Salatul Taraweeh. But, you know, comes 5 or 6 nights, 1 week into Ramadan, we tend to become complacent. And then what happens? We come back to the masajid, the last 2-3 nights of Ramadan, and we feel that I've got the beginning of Quran, I've got the khatam of Quran, I've achieved something. Make this intention, inshallah. You know, we will at least listen to the entire khatam of Quran Kareem in the Salatul Taraweeh. For our sisters, of course, you're reading your salah at home. You know, most of our sisters are not hufaz of Quran Kareem. So we should make an effort, apart from our taraweeh that we will be performing, make a concerted effort to sit and make tilawat of the Quran Kareem. Take out some time, dedicate some time, at least 1 hour a day. 1 hour a day, which is not asking too much. You're going to dedicate this time to making tilawat of the Quran Kareem, inshallah. So like we have mentioned, is that make a lot of dua, give charity, you know, start reciting Quran Kareem, Nawafil Salah. At least in this way, we are welcoming the month of Ramadan. So when the crescent of Shawwal, of Ramadan is sighted, you know, we're already in the groove. We have already changed our habits in terms of our eating habits. We've changed our lifestyle in some way or the other, where we, in Ramadan, perhaps you'll sleep a little less in Ramadan. These are opportunities for us to practice on those sunnahs that we normally don't practice upon. After Salat al-Dhuhr, the Qaylullah, what we normally refer to as siesta, this is a great sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salam. How many people practice upon that? So Ramadan is an ideal opportunity. After Salat al-Dhuhr, lay down for a few moments. At least you can rejuvenate yourself. For the night ibadat, you'll be standing in Isha, you'll be standing in Salatul Taraweeh, and then you'll be engaging in Nafil ibadat, you know, during the nights of Ramadan. But you know what we find also, this is a common tendency, you know, especially during the weekends, Friday night, Saturday night, many of our youth, many of our brothers, after the Taraweeh, you know, some of them are not even reading Taraweeh. You know, we go and we break our fast in restaurants, and we spend the entire night in a restaurant, and we go home before Fajr, and we're not reading our Salatul Fajr in Jamaat. Many of our youngsters even miss their Salatul Fajr. So we need to be dedicated. We need to be dedicated to the cause. Let us focus, inshallah. Let the focus be Allah. Let our focus be Allah, at least in this way. Show Allah that commitment. Show Allah that commitment. Then we will take something out of this blessed month.
Okay, Malala, you mentioned a little earlier in the program about, with regards to timetable for Ramadan, the importance of having this timetable. But, you know, sometimes timetables are there, but we don't always follow through with it. What advice do you have for us then?
Yes, with regards to setting up perhaps, if not a proper timetable, but I have some idea that I will get up in the morning, get up a little earlier, inshallah. We will have to discipline our eating habits. We'll have to discipline our daily schedule. You know, Salatul Fajr, the time of Suhoor, it's, you know, the days are so short in South Africa at the moment.
So we have no excuse whatsoever. So you'll be getting up. We are getting up for Fajr. We ought to be getting up. Get up a little 1 hour earlier. 1 hour earlier, inshallah. So we need to condition the mind. Once the mind is conditioned, like you find, you need to catch a flight in the morning. Even though you don't put an alarm clock, the eyes automatically open, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours before you normally get up. Why? The heart is conditioned. The mind is conditioned. So if you get up early, so we need to brace ourselves. So we might not be able to stick, you know, to the timetable that we have. But let us change. Let us discipline our lives, inshallah. So yeah, I will get up at a certain time. I will call sisters. I will prepare the sahur. You know, I will feed the family. And thereafter, we make dua. Those last few moments at the time of sahri, these are moments of acceptance. Thereafter, Salatul Fajr, make the tilawat of Quran. It was a time in this ummah where after Salatul Fajr, the entire family sat together, the father, the mother, the children, and the homes, alhamdulillah, you know, we're resounding with the words of Quran al-Kareem. But unfortunately, that has left so many of our homes where we barely read our Salatul Fajr and we jump into the warm bed. You know, the days are short, the nights are long. So let us, inshallah, you know, spend the time after Salatul Fajr, make the tilawat of Quran, right up to the time of Ishraq. If we can, inshallah, then you might need to rest for a short while. Get up, read your Salatul chart, make some tilawat of the Quran, a little dua, or Salatul Dhuhr. After Salatul Dhuhr, rest for a short while. And at the time of Asr, between Asr and Maghrib, this is vital, this is important. Let us, inshallah, you know, get once the time of Asr sets in, read our Salatul Asr. Whatever you need to prepare, prepare it immediately after Asr and at least about half an hour before Salatul Maghrib, before Iftar. Sit together, make dua, you know, recite the tilawat of Quran al-Kareem. And inshallah, brace ourselves. These are moments that Allah has accepted. And people generally have dinner after Salatul Maghrib and then Salatul Isha, Salatul Taraweeh. You know, many of our sisters are negligent with regards to that. You know, we find it difficult. 20 rakats of Taraweeh, but it's the only month of the year that Allah has given us this opportunity. So let us not waste, you know, this Ramadan. Who knows? This could be our last Ramadan. There were so many people that were with us last year. Today they are not here. Allah alone knows. We will see this Ramadan, inshallah. Allah show us many, many more Ramadans. But if this is that last opportunity, let us capitalize on this, that final lifeline Allah has given us. Look at it this way, that perhaps this is, you know, the last Ramadan of my life. You know, if somebody had to come and tell me, if Allah had to inspire me, this is your last Ramadan, how would we spend this Ramadan? We will maximize, we will capitalize, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Well, jazakallah khair, Mulana, for once again a very inspiring talk, inshallah. May Allah ta'ala make it easy for each and everyone out there for, and get us all prepared for this blessed month of Ramadan, inshallah. Once again, jazakallah khair, Mulana, and we hope to speak to you, inshallah, during the month of Ramadan.
Yes, inshallah. We ask Allah to take us to the blessed month of Ramadan with afiyah.
Inshallah.
Allah grant us the tawfiq, the, you know, that we take some lessons from these beautiful advice of Quran and Sunnah.
Inshallah, ameen. Jazakallah khair, Mulana. Well, listeners, that's it then from us. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.